This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Hey guys, welcome to The Collective. Good morning, happy Wednesday. Welcome back to another episode. I am so excited for all of the girlies to listen to today's episode because we literally have a dream guest. On the pod today, I would like to introduce you guys to none other than Dee Okleppo Hilfiger. She is a mom, she's an advocate, she is the wife of fashion mogul Tommy Hilfiger. But more importantly, she is literally the epitome of a badass woman. She has her own brand called Dee Okleppo, and she's also the creative director for Judith Lieber. And I am so excited to have her on today's episode. So without further ado, let's get into it. Dee, welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to have such a powerhouse woman and entrepreneur on today's episode. So thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy life to come on. Welcome to the collective.
Thank you. Well, it's an honor. I'm happy to be here.
Before we kind of dive into everything, can you give the listeners kind of like a little brief intro into who you are and what you do?
Okay, so my name is Dee Okleppo Hilfiger, and I am a designer, married to a designer. My husband's Tommy Hilfiger, and I am the creative director for a brand called Judith Lieber that makes women's handbags. It's a brand that's been around for 65 years. And I'm also a creative director and founder of my own namesake brand, which is called Dee Okleppo. And we make everything from shoes, and I'm launching apparel in the fall. And I am working on a home line and jewelry and all kinds of fun little projects. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, you're just doing everything. So kind of going into your career and your brand, when did you start Dee Okleppo?
So I started Dee Okleppo, I believe it was 2011. And it was kind of interesting. It was sort of, accidental. It was literally Tommy and I sitting at a table talking about his next collection. And he was, at that time, he was doing a preppy collection. And so I was telling him, I grew up like in the early 80s in Rhode Island. I'm from Rhode Island originally. And, I was so into that whole preppy thing. There was like the preppy handbook. And I was wearing, these turtlenecks that had strawberries on them and bells on them. And I knew all about preppy. So I was like, oh my gosh, you have to do this and you have to do that. And one of the things I was like, and I had this bag and it was called the Papagallo bag. And I used to have a pink cover that you could, inside, turn it inside out and it would be green corduroy. And, I got very excited about it. And he saw my, my enthusiasm about this bag. And, he's like, well, why don't you do it? So that's kind of, and I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe I will. And so that's kind of how it all came about.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of the best ways for things to start is just like through passion and just kind of taking it and then turning it into a business.
100%. 100%.
So when you first started, what were kind of your first steps in starting? Did you always have this entrepreneurial background? Did you always have kind of an idea into wanting to own your own business? Like, how did you take those first steps?
Well, look, obviously, my husband being a designer was very, very helpful. So, through Tommy, it was much easier for me to start in the fashion business than somebody just coming in cold that doesn't have those connections. So Tommy connected me with, we started with a woman named Mindy Grossman at HSN, because the thing with these bags that I was so passionate about to develop was that, I travel a lot and I wanted these changeable covers. And I think with a product like that, you can't just put it on the floor without any kind of explanation, because people might not understand what it is. So this kind of product really required somebody to explain it and show it. So we thought, well, let's go on, you know, Home Shopping Network, because then I can do it live and I can show them how to unbutton the covers and change it. So I was introduced through Tommy to Mindy Grossman, and she loved the idea. We made prototypes, and she was the one that really gave me my first opportunity into the fashion business. So I'm always grateful to her. But that's kind of how, you know, I got started. It was definitely helpful that, you know, I had help, because obviously Tommy's already in that business.
Yeah. I want to kind of talk about that a little bit. Obviously, like you mentioned, you are married to someone who has such a big impact in the fashion industry. Did you feel like you ever kind of struggled with your own brand to kind of find your own identity with it? I mean, being married to someone who is such a household name in fashion.
Yes, but you know, that really comes from more from people from the outside. Like, I've always had a very strong identity for myself. So I never struggle with it, but I think maybe other people struggle with it.
Yeah.
So I have to always constantly sort of fight that perception of the wife of. And, you know, I have a strong personality, and I have my own opinions, and, you know, I have struggled, you know, I've struggled with that throughout my life, because, you know, I started modeling in my 20s. And as you can probably imagine, when you're a model, like, no one is interested at all in your opinion. You're really like an object, and you're hired as an object, and people treat you like an object. They don't even treat you like you're a human being half the time, you know? So I think through the years I've had to develop this, I've constantly fought against that. So I think it's just a natural progression that, you know, that's kind of instilled in my, in my DNA, that I've fought against it. So I just carry myself that way, and I go under, you know, D.O. Kleppo. I mean, people refer me to D.O. Kleppo, Tommy's wife, and I'm happy to use that I'm Tommy's wife. You know, if it helps, if it helps, then great. But
yeah,
you know, I have my own vision and my own passion, and, you know, my own opinions on things. So
totally, Tommy is Dee's husband, as far as we're concerned.
There you go. He's my husband, exactly.
Exactly. I mean, I resonate with that a lot. When I was probably like 15, I started modeling, and same thing, you don't really have an opinion, you don't have a voice, you can't really speak up for a lot of things that you kind of believe in. And so I feel like when I left the modeling industry, I kind of, I don't want to say went the other way and like have, am so opinionated, but I definitely know who I am, and I definitely stand up for that. And it sounds like that's exactly how you kind of went through it as well.
Totally. I mean, for so many years, I was literally treated like meat, you know, like they throw clothes at you. They talk about you in front of you as if you're not there. You know, that does something to you, and, you know, you're either victimized by it or you are empowered by it. And I think, you know, I chose to be empowered by it and just say, you know, no, I'm not going to tolerate that.
Yeah, as you should. Girlies, when you're first starting a business, you have enough to worry about. The stress is overwhelming, and there's absolutely no reason you should be adding any more. Luckily for us, Shopify is here to help. Shopify has all the tools to power and build your business to the next level. It grows with your business, no matter how far or big you grow. Thanks to an endless list of integration and third-party apps, anything you can think of, from on-demand printing to accounting to chatbots, everything you need to revolutionize your business, they have. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and they are the global force behind Allbirds, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. As a WTTC listener, you can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/WTTC, all lowercase. Again, go to shopify.com/WTTC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Again, shopify.com/WTTC. Okay, girlies, we are talking about our favorites once again. If you've ever had an embarrassing BO moment, Lumi is here to help. Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way. Lumi delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control from everywhere, including your pits, your feet, and yes, even your privates. And fun fact, but it was actually a patient's concern about their private odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. I currently have the Toasted Coconut deodorant, and let me tell you, it is my absolute favorite and it smells so good. Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers, and it comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code WTTC for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's WTTC at LumiDeodorant.com. So in 2017, you became the creative director of Judith Lieber. What made you want to step into a more creative sort of role?
So that was a wonderful opportunity for me because I was already, you know, creative in my own bag line, but Judith Lieber is a brand that has been around for 65 years. And I was familiar with that brand because, you know, my mom was obsessed with that brand. And it was, you know, I used to look at those bags and, you know, I loved those bags. And a lot of women, like in the 60s, there was, you know, everybody from Jacqueline Onassis to Lady Bird Johnson, they were all wearing her bags. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when I came on, the brand was a little bit stale and a lot of the younger girls weren't really familiar with the brand. And they would say, oh yeah, I've heard of that. Or, you know, oh yeah, my grandmother has a collection like that. And it's so fabulous. And I was like, you know what? We need to like shake this up a little bit and make them a little bit more quirky and fun. And I really want to introduce the younger generation to her bags. So my first collection, we kind of did some like really fun, I think the first collection we called it Space Diner. And so we did like spaceships and we did French fries and we did like crazy robots. We just made it kind of fun and quirky. And that French fry bag that we did was like, it went viral. It went everywhere. And so, you know, the Kardashians and I have always been a big fan of the brand. I mean, Chris is known the brand, but then the girls loved the French fries. And then we did like a brick cell phone and Lady Gaga carried it on the red carpet at the Met Ball. And, you know, slowly, slowly we were getting a lot of attention with a lot of the younger generations. Beyonce carries it. We have a beehive, you know, we did all kinds of fun things. And so that was really, you know, I loved that. It was very fulfilling and still is. I'm still doing that. And I love that because that brand is, you know, people have tried to copy it, but it really stands for something and you really cannot copy it. So I love working with Judith Lieber.
Going off of that, I mean, where do you find your inspiration? I mean, you're in two different brands. So obviously you're going to have a lot of inspiration to be able to work on both of those. Where do you kind of find that and how does it kind of play into what you create?
I mean, honestly, it is the weirdest thing, but I can tell you, I could find inspiration from a bottle cap on the floor. I mean, literally, I something like, I love that color and I grab it and I take it. And, you know, you'll find all the most random things in my office of the most bizarre things that you're like, why do you have that? And I'm like, because I love the way that the, you know, something random that you wouldn't necessarily see. So I find inspiration in like practically anything, anything that you could think of, I could find inspiration from. So
have you always been like that, or more like once you stepped into this creative role, you kind of notice that you're picking things out a little bit more?
Yeah, I think your eye tends to, and your brain starts to like look for things, whether it's a color or a shape or a texture. And so, yeah, I mean, I think I see things differently than I did before. And mm-hmm. you know, now I'm actually working on like a home fragrance line too. And I notice I'm now smelling things differently, you know, it's
yeah.
So you're like, you know, you start sniffing around like, oh, I like that smell. Is that lilac? Or, you know, it's so your eye and your nose is trained differently when you're constantly having to create new ideas for something.
Yeah. So, I mean, you started your career a little bit later in life. Did mm-hmm. you ever feel like that impacted the career decisions that you made? Or kind of, did you ever feel like you were a little bit behind or anything? A lot of the girls that listen to this podcast are in their 20s trying to figure life out. And I know as someone who's 27, I feel like I'm really far behind in life. So did you ever feel like your decisions or that you were behind in life just kind of starting your career a little bit later?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I think society makes you feel that way. And I think mm-hmm. I felt that for a while, but I will tell you girls, if you're listening, mm-hmm. that I have learned that is not absolutely not true. I was a mom mm-hmm. for most of my 20s and I loved it. And I did not work. I mean, in the sense of, did I work? Yes, the hell I did work. I mean, yeah. That's the hardest mm-hmm. work there. You know, I was doing it all, cooking, going to school. You know, I was the driver, the butler, the nanny, everything. I worked. Mm-hmm. Now, is that a career that is, you know, that career is a short-lived career being a mom, because as you know, your kids grow up and they don't need you. They're off. They go to, you blink of an eye, they're off to college. Mm-hmm. So it's not too late to start. I did start my career later, but it's never, ever too late to start. And, you know, I was talking about this with somebody. I was very influenced and was lucky enough to be very friendly with a woman named Iris Apfel, who was probably at the height of her career in her 90s. And, you know, for those people that think that when you know, get older, it's your time to retire or to settle down or to just fade into the background and not be heard and not be seen. You know, I don't subscribe to that at all. I mean, Martha Stewart is still killing it and very actively engaged. And I think the secret to longevity and staying young is to be engaged and to be involved. And one of the things, you know, Iris Apfel was basically a supermodel in her 90s. And she used to come, I remember I gave a birthday party for Tommy. She arrived like such a baller. She had like her nails red and this big turquoise, you know, furry jacket with all this jewelry. And she looked amazing. Mm. And it was like, she's not fading to the background. She's like, yo, I'm here. I am here. I've arrived. Yeah. Iris is here. And so she's very inspirational because she proved to me that it can be done. And, you know, I think when you subscribe to that philosophy, I just think that it's wrong. It's really wrong. And so I would tell your listeners that it's never too late to start a career. Never.
Were you nervous to kind of make that jump from motherhood to going to a career, or did you feel like it was kind of a natural progression for you?
Natural, because, you know, I felt that I really wanted to do it. I had, you know, I modeled, but I also went to college. I have a college mm-hmm. degree, and I've always been really confident in, you know, in my talents and what I have to offer. So, you know, it's interesting because even when I was a mom, you know, I think I was carrying out these creative like tendencies in my cooking or in the way that I decorated the home. I always had, you know, it doesn't matter. It's like the way that you put out the food, or the way that you set the table, or the way that you make the home, or the way that you put together a flower arrangement. Like, I can see now, looking back, that I was always trying to express myself in a creative way, you know? And I think most people, most human beings, I think it's a human thing. I don't think it's like isolated to me, or, you know, to a creative person. I think we're all born with some kind of innate ability to express ourselves. It's just how you do it.
Yeah. You kind of talked a little bit about how you've always been confident in your own abilities. How have you kind of built that confidence, especially going from modeling to now having brands and business and kind of being in that workforce? Is there anything that you have kind of done throughout the years to just kind of like build that confidence inside yourself?
I mean, I can't say that it's always been. I think my confidence has built with age and with time, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I sometimes look back at pictures of myself when I was like in my 20s, and I can see in my eyes that I've got so much anxiety, you know, and I would say to that girl, like, it's going to be okay. Just relax. You know, I think most people, or at least I did in my 20s, and I'm sure there's still a lot of people in their 20s, you know, I had so much like pressure on myself in my 20s, like, okay, I've got to, you know, achieve this by 25 or this by 30. And I think that's normal. And I don't think it's bad, because you have to put a certain amount of pressure on yourself to achieve things. And I think with time, I'm not always confident. I have confidence in myself that I can deliver, but I think there's also an aspect of maybe not being overly confident to the point where that pressure is good for you to achieve. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That pressure kind of gives you a little push to like want to work hard, want to like achieve certain things.
Yes. And I think I still to this day put pressure on myself to achieve certain things. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think for me anyway, that's how I get to the next step. So yeah. I'm kind of never happy or pleased, or I'm not the kind of person that I like to sit back on my laurels and say, oh, well, you know, now I'm good. I've arrived. I've done it. That's not who I am. So I'm always a little bit like, you know, what's next? And I feel like Tommy's like that as well. I think we both have that in our personality, where we never kind of sit back like, oh, well, we've done this, so we're good. Like it's always pushing. And that's just how we kind of function. And I feel it works really well for both of us.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's probably really helpful to kind of have a partner who's like that as well, because it's going to just innately make you want to get up and go do new things and kind of push yourself in a little bit of a different way when your partner's doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. We're both. And I mean, I guess you would just call that ambition. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
Plain and
just
simple.
Hard work.
It just is ambitious. If you're an ambitious person, you wake up wanting to do things or to achieve the next step of where you like, you know, you just always want more to do better. And I was talking about this to somebody, because we were talking about greed, and they're like, is it just human nature that you always want more and more and more? And I'm like, I think they're kind of, it is a human nature thing, but you know, it's, I'm not saying that I'm just saying it's good for ambition to do things and for whatever reason. I'm not talking about greed in a monetary way of getting more things, but just that you want to achieve more.
Yeah. I feel like I am a very ambitious person. Same thing. Like whenever I kind of achieve something, like with school, then I'm like, well, let's do a PhD. Let's keep moving. Let's keep doing things. And I feel like it's almost achieving things within myself. Like I like to push myself to almost see like how much I'm able to do, and kind of like how many traits can I achieve and how many things can I kind of do within myself almost.
You always achieve it. And that therein lies where you build your confidence. And it doesn't matter. I remember I had some things, like I wanted to jump out of an airplane and I did it. And then I could never do that. And then I wanted to run the New York Marathon and I did it. It's like check, check. And it's really for yourself, because I'm not doing it for money and I'm not doing it to please anybody else. Why am I jumping out of a plane? It's only for me. It's only for me to prove to myself that I can. And when you keep proving to yourself, okay, I want to do that. Like I can, I did it. That's where over time you just build confidence, knowing and believing in yourself, like whatever it is that my intention is set on, I know that I can do it.
Yeah. It's just like making a promise and keeping it to yourself. Because I always say to everyone that listens to this podcast, if your best friend made a whole bunch of promises to you and never kept them, you'd start to lose trust in that person and you wouldn't really have confidence in what they say. So it's the same thing with yourself. You obviously want to believe everything that you're going to tell yourself that you're actually going to be able to achieve it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So going off of kind of all of your ambition, what does a typical day in your life kind of look like? Like how do you set your day up? How do you go about it? What do you do?
Well, I wake up at about between 6 and 6:30 every day, every morning. Mm-hmm. And the day definitely has to start with coffee. Like nothing happens before I get that cup of coffee. So, you know, I caffeinate myself, and then Tommy and I, we have breakfast with Sebastian and we drive him to school, usually together. Sometimes we can't do it together, but if we're home, we both drive him to school every morning. We drop him off and then we come home and we try to work out like for 45 minutes. Sometimes it's not every day. Lately it's been like 3 times a day. But I get on and look at my schedule, and I usually have a schedule of what I have to do that day. And it's usually if I'm home, you know, I live in Palm Beach now, so I do a lot of my meetings remotely. So I'm either doing podcasts or I'm doing Zoom meetings, or I've got appointments. But we do travel a lot. I was just in Asia like a little bit over a week ago with Tommy. Yeah. And, you know, I'm leaving for New York on Saturday. So, you know, we move around, we bop around a lot. And there's really no typical day, but I would say that, you know, the one thing that is true is no matter where we are, if we're home or we're traveling, the day is not wasted. We are very productive almost every day. I mean, that's just our rhythm. There's not a day that goes by where I'm lying around, you know, eating jujus.
Yeah. Every day you have something you got to get done.
Several things.
Going off of that, I mean, you're a mom, you run two brands, you're a part of two brands, you're an advocate and so many other things. How do you balance it all? And this is a question that I get asked all the time whenever I'm on a podcast, and I hate it because I always say, I don't really know. It just kind of happens. I just know that I have to get it done. But do you have any way that you kind of are able to balance everything that you have going on?
You know, it's kind of like that, like you just do it. But I will say that being really organized helps me be more productive. If I wasn't organized, then I don't think I could be as productive as I am. So I would definitely say that is like one secret, that helps me balance it all is you have to, you know, have to be organized. It can't be chaotic. You've got to like know what's going on. I've got a calendar with all the weeks filled out, and at night I go, okay, I've got to do that. Like you just have to have some kind of organization in your head to, you know, get through your schedule. And you always do. And sometimes I look at it going, wow, that's crazy. Like, and I get a little bit anxious of how am I going to do all that? And how, you know, and you always do. You always do. So you just do it day by day. And I've learned over time, like not to get anxious about it, because I always get through it. And as hard as it might look, we always get it done. And it's always easier than I thought it would be.
I feel like that's a big part of it, honestly, is my anxiety.
Anxiety.
Whatever I
mind fuck, because you know, anxiety just makes you think that everything is so much harder than it really is. And then you get through it and you're like, oh, that was, I did so bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's like I said, that's one of the questions I get asked all the time, kind of having a brand and doing a PhD at the same time. People ask, how do you balance it? And I always just say that it's a priority to me to get everything done, and it's stuff that I love to do. So I'm going to send a random email when I'm in an Uber. I'm going to make time in my schedule to go to the gym for my mental health. Like, you figure it out. And I know that that's not really what people want to hear. They kind of want like a step-by-step, how do I do it? But if it's important to you, you're going to make it work.
Well, and also, you know, to just acknowledge that it's not easy. I mean, when you say people want an answer of like, how do you really do it? It's just not, you know, I don't want to mislead people into thinking, oh, you do this and it'll just be easy. It's not easy. Yeah. I'm tired a lot of times. I'm tired. Sometimes you don't feel like doing this or that, but you know, you do it, you do what you have to do and you get through it. But you know, both Tommy and I work really hard. And I'm not going to say that it's like easily done. It's hard work, and there's no secret to hard work. It's just hard work. But if you're passionate about it, it's like checking the box off. You're like, okay, I did that. And you know, that makes me feel good. So it's not like, it's fun in a way. It's a challenge and it's fun. It's not horrible. Mm-hmm.
I find that for me, at least, I rely a lot more on consistency and dedication than I do motivation. That's another one of the questions that people will always ask on podcasts is, how do you stay motivated? And 98% of the time I'm not. And I know that I have to be consistent and dedicated in order to achieve whatever goal. Do you find that that's kind of something you resonate with? Or do you find that you wake up, you're motivated to do a lot of the stuff that you're doing?
I am motivated to do most of the stuff that I'm doing because I have like a vision and a goal. And like I said, I just, I feel really lucky to be able to be busy. Like now that I have this rhythm and I'm busy, like I can't really imagine my life any other way. Like I think I might be miserable. So I am motivated, and maybe the consistency has made me that way. But I enjoy it, and it's kind of fun to see like how much I get done in a day. And like, it's that same, you know, checking off the box, like I did it and I know I can do it and I know I can rely on myself to get things done. Like I, you know, so I, that just keeps driving me. Like I can do that. I can do that. I can, you know, I can make dinner and I can do this. I can, you know, I can do it. I'm not going to say, like I said, I get tired and stressed sometimes? Yes, I do. It's not like, ah, it's all easy.
It's a tough thing.
Yeah. But you get through it and you can and do it. It might make you crazy. Sometimes you might want to tear your hair out. But you do it.
So my last question for you is, your motto is trust in the universe. When was kind of a time that this resonated with you, or like, how did this motto kind of impact your life? A little story for you, just like a side note, but when I, in the middle of the pandemic, I kind of went through my own mental health struggles, and I always told myself kind of trust in the universe, trust in the fact that life was working for me and not necessarily against me. I mean, we talked about my anxiety, so obviously that was going rampant. And that's actually kind of what started my own clothing brand. And that's what the first collection was called. It was called The Trust in It, because trust in whatever it is that you need to trust in, that everything's going to work out. So the fact that that's your motto is very full circle to me, and I love it. But how has that kind of played a part in your life?
I mean, it's everything in my life. It, you know, life is, I always say, like life is not for pussies. It is really, life will throw stuff at you that can be so overwhelming and, you know, bring you to your knees. But, you know, I have this surfboard that hangs above in our bedroom, like when I come downstairs every morning. So every morning when I get out of bed and I come downstairs, I have this surfboard that says, trust the universe. So I read it and I'm reminded every single day. And that message is so important to me because I've been through some really, you know, difficult, challenging times where, you know, I didn't know it, you know, it's hard to even talk about because I get emotional, but you know, during my divorce, it was really hard. And I didn't know, I was feeling a lot of guilt and I was thinking it would be better if I wasn't here. And you know, it was really a tough, how am I going to get through this? What about my kids? It was just so many unanswered questions. And I didn't know, I couldn't see the future. Like I couldn't see, you know, that expression, the forest beyond the trees. Like I couldn't really see forward. It was just black. It was very, very scary, very dark. And, you know, I did manage to push through. And I think after you push through those really hard bottom moments, is when you realize, like, okay, I got through. It's like I said, the other achievements, like jumping out of the plane, running the marathon. Like once I got out of that, I was like, wow, I got through that and I'm actually in a better place. And, you know, it definitely reminds me of, I wouldn't say that I'm religious, but I have a lot of faith in a higher power that I believe, and I tell myself all the time, like somebody's got to be up there looking out for me, helping me. And when you have that belief and you walk around with that in your head, it's very empowering. And, you know, you could kind of get through a lot. So, like I said, every day, and I don't know if I always did trust the universe. I think, especially when I was younger, I don't think that I believed in that philosophy necessarily, but I do now, and I'm reminded every day, and it's an important message.
I love it. Something I always tell myself now is whenever I'm stressed out or life is kind of really shitty and just a lot is happening, I tell myself like there's some reason that I'm going through this. It's either to learn something, it's to grow, it's to get rid of someone in my life, like whatever it is. And I might not see it in the moment, but I know that there's a reason. I always call my mom and I'm like, I don't know why this is happening, but I know that it's like for some good reason. I just can't figure it out. So I'll call you in like 3 months and I'll let you know
Why?
what good came out of this. But yeah, like why this happened to me. I love that that's something that you tell yourself all the time. It's something I tell myself all the time too. And I think it's actually really helped me to just kind of release almost like the pressure of just everything in life. Like, I just kind of know like everything's going to work out in the end. And like they say, if it's not working out right now, then it's not the end. So that's
For
kind
sure.
of something I
Important.
tell
You're
myself
so
all the
lucky at
time.
your age that you know that. I wish I'd known that at your age. And, you know, another thing that I always say is God's rejection is his protection. I say that to Tommy when something doesn't work out. You know, I'm like, remember, God's, what is it? Wait, God's rejection is his protection. So, and it was just saying the same thing. There is a reason for everything. Like you have to trust the universe that that is happening for a reason.
Well, Dee, it was amazing having you on the podcast. Thank you so much again for taking the time out of your crazy busy scheduled day to talk with me for a little bit. Before we kind of close everything out, can you let everyone know where they can find you, where they can shop all of your items, where they can follow you on social media, all of that?
Sure. So you can follow me on social media. I've got two social media places that you can follow me on, at Mrs. Hilfiger or at Dio Kleppo. And You can also go on to dioclepo.com, where I sell some really great shoes and bags. Mm-hmm. And I will be launching my apparel that is called Dio by Dio Clepo. Mm-hmm. And that's launching the fall. And that will be at Belk's stores and online. And I believe it's also going to be at Macy's.
Oh my gosh.
I'll keep you informed.
Well, that's so exciting.
It is exciting. I'm very excited.
Dee, thank you so much again.
Thank you. I had a great time. We had a great chat.
I hope you guys loved today's episode. As always, if you love it, share it, post it, all that good stuff. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will catch you in the next one. Bye. Hey there, my name is Renee Rina, and I am the mom friend you have always wanted. I am also the host of the Mom Room podcast. We publish 2 episodes per week, a co-hosted episode on Tuesdays and a solo episode on Thursdays. Popular topics include pooping and having sex after giving birth. I have a solo episode where I talk about not sharing a bed with my husband and why that's okay. I hope you'll tune in to these conversations every week. Join us on Instagram at the Mom Room Podcast and start to feel a little less alone in this crazy thing called motherhood.